continuing our Counsels of Christian Perfection for Christian Mothers, an old text that I'm going through a chapter at a time, trying to breathe some life into it, but really it's a very classical approach towards the spiritual life. Last time, we spoke about the tremendous amount of waste of time in our day, and how we'll have to answer to Almighty God for the waste of time, and how saints, say, made vows. Saint Alphonsus is a good example, never to waste a minute. And that is one of the reasons why they were able to accomplish so much. But there's more to it than that. Remember, we said, too, that you mustn't think that legitimate rest or recreation or taking time for yourself spiritually as well as emotionally, that is wasted time. Wasted time is time that ends up just being unaccounted for or frittered away, or activities that leave you actually more tired or enervated than you were before. TV is a real good example of that. You think it's going to relax you, and yet it doesn't at all. Either if you've got any conscience left, you end up being shamed a little bit, or you end up being kind of nervous or enervated or drained. It doesn't carry out what it offers you by any means. But you do need recreation in your life, and you don't need to feel that is a waste of time. But we do waste a tremendous amount of time in our lives, and for all those wasted moments, we're certainly going to have to answer to Almighty God. One of the suggestions that we made last time was to have some kind of a basic rule of life. Did you ever think about that or consider that? Probably not, because we would tend to think of that in rule in terms maybe of priests or nuns who belong to an order, and there's a kind of a rule of St. Benedict, rule of St. Augustine, that they are meant to follow. When we speak about a rule of life, we mean committing yourself to a few basic principles. And to symbolize the commitment and to kind of tie it down, it is suggested that you actually do write them down, which will help you in the distribution of the day's activities and the distribution of your energies throughout the whole day. Now, don't think that I'm too busy, I couldn't possibly commit myself to that kind of a that kind of an approach to life. That's something that might work for a nun, but it certainly is not going to work for me in the cloister of my home. It is true that a real strict, hard and fast rule would not work at all, would be a total disaster as a matter of fact, and it would be sort of mixing oil and water. It's not going to mix together. But if you can isolate some principles that are real important for you in your day and commit yourself to them as much as possible with the aid of the Holy Ghost, trying to discern what really is sort of like the rhythm of your day and the rhythm of your week, then I am convinced that you can not only avoid wasting time, but find time for those things that we don't usually find time for when we're busy. That is to say, for ourselves and for God. We have time for others, we have time for whatever is grabbing at us next. But that other part of our life, very frequently, we just don't have time for. The benefit of a rule is that it saves you from squandering your life. So you say to yourself, where did this day go? Where did spring go? Where did this year go? The year is almost half over. Where did it go? And as you get older, ladies, it doesn't get any better. It only gets worse. The time just goes faster and faster. So therefore, the benefit of making each day and each part of the day count really, really stands out, so that I'm not going to end up squandering or wasting all these opportunities from the good Lord. The benefit of writing something down, the Latins say, scripta manent, what is written abides, is that it's a way of, at that time, committing yourself to it. That's why anything of importance we do write down. And then later on, you have a written reminder of it. But here, in this matter, we need to be extremely modest. When I talk about a rule of life, I almost mean more certain resolutions, maybe things that kind of get after you whenever you examine your conscience. And, oh, I did that again. I can't believe that. Certain resolutions that you want to make and certain means that you want to take so that you can carry out those resolutions in your daily life. This is connected with the whole idea of sort of an organized or a systematic approach to your spiritual life, organized or systematic approach to your whole life. Very important not to overburden yourself with a whole lot of rules or a whole lot of details. Many beginners in the spiritual life have fallen and then sort of been smothered under all of these rules and regulations, because very often that just doesn't work. And what seems to work very well for another person or perhaps for another age simply isn't going to work for us and in our time and in our age. The rule, if you do write down some kind of a rule, it's not immutable. You can change it as the Holy Ghost might inspire you to. It's better to add little things with experience, and there might be a time to subtract, but more really just to add. But the idea is you just start off very, very slowly. What are some of the advantages of approaching life in this more of an organized fashion, of having an actual rule of life? The first of these is that it saves you from yourself. I think that's a large part of holiness. Remember, for the daily battle of holiness, you almost need some kind of an excuse. You have to be, to others, especially those in your own household, you're going to be serious about what St. Francis de Sales calls the devout life. But also you have to have an excuse sometimes for yourself. So if you have some pretty inflexible rules that are just there, which then become routine for you, that will save you from, you know, that spirit of that some people have of just doing whatever they feel like they really need to do at that particular moment. Caprice, whim, following your mood. Because you're doing what you feel like doing right now and not necessarily what God wants you to do, even though what you're doing is good, it's not part of the plan, His plan for your life, and it actually would rob you of merit, and it kind of puts things out of kilter, out of balance in your own spiritual life. Face it, all of us are tempted pretty much to do what we want to do. And sometimes, inevitably, because you're Catholic, and you're traditional Catholic, and you're devout, and you're pretty motivated, sometimes that's going to entail something for God. The problem is this, that if I'm just doing it because I'm in the mood, it's like, you know, toss a doggy biscuit to God, you know. I don't want to have that approach. I want to have the approach of a profound reverence, that I do it because it's right, and this is part of the balance of my day. I'm not doing it to please me, for what I can get out of it, because I'm in the mood to do it now, but I'm doing it to please Almighty God, whether or not I'm in the mood for it. And then, as you can see right there you have the whole crux, that's Latin for cross, the whole cross of spirituality, you know, the death to self, the crucifixion of yourself, as well as the only way to train your children in these virtues, the idea of death to self. Well, you don't want to do it right now, but that's your duty. That's what we have to do right now, so therefore we're going to do it, and we're going to try to do it with a smile. And as you say those words to your children, you're conscious to try to apply that same truth to yourself. It's a funny thing that anything that even seems some days to be a duty, much less a regular duty, much less, God forbid, a humdrum duty, all of a sudden becomes an object of distaste. We don't like it, and we don't want to have to commit ourselves to doing it. Because of this fact, unless we do tie ourselves down, our lives drift. And if from one thing to another, we float along pretty much according to whim. And if that's the case, we may get X amount of stuff done, or we may get somebody else to do it for us, or it may just not get done and then people don't even notice it anymore, and pretty soon they stop complaining. And then all of a sudden we've gotten through somehow or another. But the sense of duty is gone. The sense of duty is gone. The sense of, well, I'm supposed to do this, and therefore I'm doing it. And I'm dying to myself a little bit to get it done. And if you think of it, that's really one of the most precious instructions that you can pass on to your children. Very, very often, your will and God's will come together, at least in some sense. But very often, too, they won't. But remember, the idea of all holiness, finally, is not just kind of making it, getting through, managing, kind of hobble something together behind the scenes. But at the same time, the essence of all holiness is not doing something great and magnificent so that everybody says, like in the book of Proverbs, that epistle we have for widows, who shall find a valiant woman far from the uttermost coasts is the price of her. Her husband stands up in the marketplace and praises her and her children, and they laud her and all the rest of it. It's not that the goal of your life is not to be eulogized at your 50th anniversary at your funeral. Wow, what a mom. She was super mom. And she did this and she did that, and she had time for this committee and this association, and she churned her own butter, and she had her own goats in the backyard, and look at how she used to weave that cloth, and bake the bread and all this stuff. And I just don't know how she got it all done. Boy, they sure don't make them like that anymore. That really is not going to get you all that far in the kingdom. It might not even get you to the gate. Remember the crux, the essence of all holiness is this. We talked about it in an earlier Council of Perfection. And tapes are available, if I'm not mistaken, so we can always look at Carolyn. So that we can always review if we want to. Remember, we said that the essence of all holiness is simply in doing God's will. Doing God's will for me. The benefit of having a rule is it will help me to discern what God's will is, and it will take this wandering will of mine, and we'll tie it down, and we'll make it to be submitted to His will, even though it will hurt. And thus, I'll probably be able to accomplish quite a bit. I'll be able to seriously think about buying those goats that I've always wanted to have, or whatever else, I don't know, or those kinds of things that I might be able so to reorganize my time and my energies that I'll get things. But that's not the reason I want to do it. That's not the reason, the subject of the talk today, the promo. I thought I would use a promo on Sunday from the pulpit to drag them in their dozens to this talk tonight. Why waste your time? How to avoid wasting your day? But the real challenge is to do Almighty God's will. And finally, when you get right down to it, I know this is my experience as a priest, and this may be your experience as a mom, I seriously suspect that it would be. Many days, you will end up seemingly having wasted your time. That is to say, a whole series of inconsequential things, but they were your duties. And it was something that your children needed, or your husband needed, or your state of life required. And you took care of those things, kind of forgetful of yourself. And in there does lie true sanctity. The benefit of the rule is that this forgetful of yourself is a forgetful of that self, willful, impulse-laden type person. But you are already, even to start your day, profoundly taking care of your spiritual needs. A life which isn't run, which isn't regulated from Almighty God's viewpoint, is kind of a sad life. They say from the viewpoint of the world, you can kind of get by and you can fool others, and it can't even seem pretty good. But from the aspect of Almighty God, unless you're really tying your will, crucifying your will to the foot of the cross, God will not be pleased, and the grace will not be there. And when the divine scales are taken out by Michael the Archangel at the end, then what we'd have to answer for all those times that we followed our own will and never a thought for the will of Almighty God. Here we come to something which the author stresses quite a bit, and I think we'd have a hard time overemphasizing the absence of the supernatural in our life, that we don't tend to view things in a supernatural point of view, whether it's our children and their futures, whether it's some domestic event in the family, whether it's some issue, say, of forgiveness. it's very hard, or getting along with something who's somebody who's real difficult, it's very hard for us to take a supernatural viewpoint on things. We're soaked, we're marinated in this awful naturalism of our day, and we breathe it in, like incense in St. Gertrude's Church. It's just there, and after a while you kind of get used to it. That's naturalism, or a certain worldliness. And that makes us lead pretty much lives like everybody else lives. The only way to combat this naturalism is to fight against it. And the only way to do that is to sort of marshal our forces, thus again arguing for the use of a rule in regulating our life. That way we put God and the supernatural first, and just by, because you're doing, if you're doing supernatural things, I mean prayer and spiritual reading and Mass and the sacraments, then all of a sudden that tones your day. All of a sudden that gives you a different perspective. It's sort of like having to speak a foreign language. If you do not use the foreign language, sooner or later you forget it. The language of faith, the language of Christianity, the language of God, the language of love that the Trinity uses amongst themselves is foreign to us because we speak the language of the world. But we have to get into that, and we have to keep on practicing it, or else we'll forget it. Another advantage for having a proper rule of life is that you do produce an awful lot more. Your lives tend to be more fruitful. It is a way to be able to organize yourself and to find time for things, especially for the things that really do matter, that you thought you didn't have room for in your life before. You tend to produce effects much more quickly. It's a little bit less tiring when you're organized along the lines of a rule. Someone who has got a pretty firm idea of what she needs to get accomplished and a sense of priorities, we say today, prioritize. You can't do everything. You've got to get that outline in your own mind, and you've got to throw some other stuff out. Someone who is that way will tell you that just that kind of a commitment to a rule, in effect, without maybe using that word, is the secret of all of her activity. What the great killer is simply to go along with the inspiration of the moment. You might finally get one job done, but then there might be a couple of kids who kind of want your attention, and you vaguely should be doing this and that and the other thing. You might be running back and forth and trying to accomplish them all, or just asking yourself, now what do I really need to do next? Then you might start something and get distracted, or you might find it distasteful and then want to just move on to something else, so that at the end of the day, there's not really too much to show for it. You might have been busy and running around. You might be actually fairly tired and pretty stressed at the end of a given day, but there's not a tremendous amount of good to show for it. Our tendency is when we in effect fritter away a day like this, our tendency is to feel sorry for ourselves and think, wow, did I ever have a day? And then, of course, then you finally you accuse your husband of not understanding you and of not realizing what a very difficult job you have there at home with children, which may be true, but the fault is not really his, especially when he comes to the door and all coming down on him, the booby-trap door that husbands fear. It's not his fault, and it's not the children, it's you. It's you. By feeling bad about it, beating yourself up, as they say today, or feeling guilty, that gets you absolutely nowhere. But by stopping and looking, and by realizing, okay, sometimes in life I just got to put everything on the table, you might be able to work your way towards a solution. The essential, now let's get down to practical element here, the essential part of drawing up some kind of a rule of life, everybody says, all the spiritual writers say, is this: to fix the hour of going to bed, and to fix the hour in particular of getting up in the morning. Not as the tendency would be, whatever the market will bear, but what I know that I need to do to do that, to fix the hour for going to bed, and then therefore they're going to regulate the household that way, especially when there's little ones, and then to fix the hour for getting up too. Spiritual writers and doctors and a whole lot of people tell you that from every perspective, physical as well as spiritual, that's really the best way to do it. Another element is, I think this is really the key. I think it's probably like the one most important thing. And this is something you could write down and you could work it out, and you really should. The great benefit for fixing an hour for getting up is that it would allow you in time, especially if you force yourself to go to bed early and force the kids to go to bed early, and it's kind of like shut down shop a little bit earlier than you would otherwise, is that you will then be able, with enough rest, to be able to get up in the morning at such a time so that you have some time for yourself, at least on some days, some time to be able to pray before the household is stirring. There's a tremendous amount to be said for that. It may be the only time that you will have for you in that day, depending. It may be, but that's your time, and that you should be willing to make the sacrifice for that and have a regular routine of getting up and doing that. That way, when the patter of little feet recommences and the day starts its rhythm, you'll be ready for them. Bring them on. Bring the kids on. I'm ready for them now because I've had that time with God. I'm settled in my own soul. I've prayed. A lot of spiritual writers recommend, at least for part of it, a good formal approach towards your morning and your evening prayer. That some of it should be said on your knees, because creatures of body and soul, the idea of adoration on my knees before thee, my God, I adore thee. And then you say you don't need to say them on your knees by any means. In fact, I would urge you to be comfortable at some point. But with a cup of coffee or whatever your morning tipple of choice is, that's fine. A little spiritual reading, a little planning for the day. Talk to God a little bit. That's what prayer is, conversation with God. But start off with some kind of formal prayer and then work your way into maybe some kind of a spiritual reading. I think that's crucial. To have a fixed time for getting up and a fixed time for going to bed that's reasonable to get yourself enough sleep, and then to have that early morning time for yourself, for your spiritual life, for also planning for the day. St. Francis de Sales, you know, in the introduction to The Devout Life, says that should be an important part of your day. We do that anyways, don't we? If you've got something cooking, or even if you don't, you tend to think, well, I've got to do this today, and I remember that. And he says, this is the genius of DeSales. He says, all right, take all those things that you're kind of thinking about now in the morning, and yes, offer it up to God, and think about it. What kind of virtues am I going to need for this day? Am I going to have to be with my mother-in-law with all the challenges that that entails, and keeping my mouth shut and smiling when I don't feel like it? Or is there going to be some other kind of a discussion, or some other time when patience will be required? And you go through it with God, and you offer it up, and you ask for help. You see that in that wonderful book. And that could be like a form of like a routine of morning prayer, that and a little bit of spiritual reading. Some point in the day, this would be another element. So we've got the fixed time for getting up and going to bed. Non-negotiable, except in the case like the total flooding of the basement or illness. Non-negotiable, I'm going to absolutely have some time for spiritual reading and prayer in the morning. Even if it's just a quarter of an hour. You know, set the timer on the stove if you need to, but just, and not all vocal prayers, not, you know, I'm going to get to this one, get to that one. One or two, just to kind of get the juice of devotion going in your heart is enough, and just try to be quiet with our Lord a little bit. And then if you get these distractions, you're thinking about this or that thing, turn it into a prayer. Lord, give me help. Plan it out with Him. Offer it up to Him. Beg Blessed Mother for her intercession. And you're readying yourself to do that. At some point, either in the morning or else, maybe there might be. That's the thing, you got to look for a typical day and maybe like a typical week if you have certain routines that you fall into. When could I take care of the need for some spiritual reading each day? Something that's going to refresh me and elevate me a little bit and kind of give me like a little push. Remember, spiritual reading, shop around. Don't feel obliged to stay with something as an act of virtue if you find it dry and kind of boring. There's plenty of books out there which, on a good day, really will inspire you. Those are the kind of books or articles. It doesn't have to be a book. It could be magazine articles, you know, traditionalist publications. And people get piles of them. I certainly do. And you think to yourself, you know, I should read this. And then you never actually get it read. But, you know, you have a pile and a time where you want to do something which is going to nourish, not controversy, but something really to nourish your own soul. So that's another element written down in the rule, non-negotiable. Some form of spiritual reading. So we've got the fixed time for rising and going to bed. We've got morning prayer, some vocal prayer on your knees, and then some just quiet talking to God. Some time for spiritual reading during the day. Later on in the series we'll talk about meditation, but some time for meditation is a good thing. In the bulletin on Sunday we have this little 5-minute meditation. You may want to make that part of your morning offering, your morning prayers. I really do recommend that. Another part of your rule would be to make that goal, to try to hit X number of extra masses per week or per month as you might be able to do. And I'm going to make that sacrifice, or I'm going to arrange things on such and such a day, on such an occasion or on a certain day of the week to be able to get the mass with or without the kids. Make that rule. Part of the rule too would be the Holy Communion as often as possible, and confession, say, at least once a month. The more often that you receive Holy Communion, then you're really speaking the language. You're really receiving Holy Communion is the equivalent of like a trip to Germany or something like that. If you're working on German, you're plunged into this other culture. You're in another world. You're in His world. You're in the real world, and your world and His come together and melt along with the sacred host on your tongue and in your heart. That's the beauty and the necessity of it, that you need that strength. And one of the reasons why we're having these Mother's Nights of spiritual refreshment, and why I do stress it so much, is that so often the Sunday Mass, because of the routine and getting the kids ready and maybe some battling with the kids during the course of the service or whatever, isn't as spiritually refreshing for you as it could be. And you have to take some time to be able to do that, to rediscover the Mass again, Holy Communion or benediction. So we try to offer things, occasions like this, for that very purpose, because you've got to take some time out for yourself. When it comes to prioritizing, we spoke of earlier, this you might say a distribution of duties, then you want to maybe sometime make a list. It might not be a bad idea. Perhaps even put it down in writing. The first are the duties that you owe to God in the interior of your own life. And then after that, your duty of prayer and faith and nourishing your own spiritual life. Then after that, the duties of your own state of life. What are my duties to my husband? What are my duties to my children? What are the duties to the family in general? The remainder of your time, as time permits and as energy allows, for a whole lot of other things. But I've got that. My own soul, the duties of my state of life, and then what's extra. So that's some kind of a... What does this accomplish in the way of having that written down as a rule? Well, some kind of a project that somebody wants you to get into for them doesn't then become all important in your life, because you say, wait a minute, if I have to neglect my spiritual life for this, or I have to neglect my husband or my kids, well, no. I've got to think twice about that, because these have to come first, duties of the state of life. But remember that if you care to do this, if you do write some things down, remember that you write it down and you want to carry it out only for one purpose, that you do it for God, not as somebody in the world would do it for the sense of utility. There are probably dozens and dozens of self-help books along these same lines, but without mentioning the G word, which you could pick up in the bookstore about how to get better use out of your time and avoid wasting your day and all the rest of it. I want to do it for God. I want to do it because He wants me to do it. Because by thinking it through in a prayerful way and offering it to Him and then writing it down, it is the expression of God's will in my life. And because all holiness all love consists in that. It is something that has to be very dear to me. So in carrying these things out, you need to have a supernatural spirit about things. And the use of aspirations here can be very, very helpful. A little something like all for you, Lord my God, or all for you, my Jesus, or oh God, make me generous is one that I like. You know, if it's hard getting out of bed in the morning, or it's hard, you know, sticking to something, you know, oh, please give me a generous heart, or Jesus, make me generous, something like that. A little, sometimes little aspirations or little prayers can be a tremendous help. Now, if you're making up something like this, another step that I would recommend, which kind of goes along with this whole program, would be to consider seriously having some priest as a spiritual advisor or a spiritual director, some priest that with whom you feel you can communicate and get along fairly well, who might be able to offer you some good advice. He might have some insight, if he's your confessor too, into your soul, and he might be able to really offer some very good advice. And in any case, to have someone else's input is, from a natural point of view, common sense, and from a supernatural point of view, an act of humility. And that can be very, very pleasing. So if you do write something like that down, you might want at some point discuss it with the priest. It can be a real element in spiritual direction and spiritual guidance to be able to do that. So you see, the component parts that I've recommended this evening are all pretty common sense. Probably the one, two things you really want to commit yourself to and tie down is that morning and evening business, bed and getting up, and also the element of prayer in the early morning to make a sacrifice to get that in. And then also this way of dividing up duties, that I'm going to take care of my spiritual life, and I will take care of the duties of my state of life as a mother, as a wife and as a mother. And then what I have left over from that, in a judicious way, I'll try to spread around and share with others. But these other two got to come first. They really do. And maybe to write it down is going to help me with commitment to it. Then the spiritual reading, meditation during the day, and the extra masses and or devotions as you possibly can. For raising children and little children at home, magnifying that or amplifying that, the idea of prayer, I would say that you'd want to put that into a rule of life, like the little routines of, say, like grace at the meals and the evening prayer. Then make that part of the family routine. And you know that that's an excellent way to trick yourself and get your own daily prayers, your evening prayers in, by doing with the children, even in a very simple way. Something that we neglect very much in daily life is the examination of conscience in the evening with daily prayer. I was just thinking today that maybe one way to approach it, and this could be, you know, part of a little rule life you're drawing up, when you have children who are getting to be of that age, you have a little routine with them for evening prayer, would be to have the children recite, or you recite for the children, when they're very young still, the Ten Commandments. And after each commandment, you make a little pause. Now, a two-year-old growing up hearing that is going to pretty soon have the Ten Commandments learned by heart, which is a real help when catechism comes along and First Communion and the rest. But for the adults, the beauty of that, mom or dad who are going to be in on those family prayers, is that that's a little examination of conscience for yourself. Just Ten Commandments. Put that in. With a little pause after each one, some of the standard prayers, and at least a decade or two of the rosary if you haven't yet started the whole family rosary. But not too much with the rule thing, and go over it with a spiritual guide, with your confessor, and remember the idea is not to please yourself and not something purely utilitarian. It's something to do the will of God, because you really want to energize yourself for carrying out His will. Good. Well, let's have a concluding prayer then. In the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost, Amen. O heart of Jesus, divine heart, heart filled with kindness and mercy for us, we lay before thee the desires and the resolutions of our hearts. We offer them up in reparation for the offenses committed daily against thee by the malice and ingratitude of men. Bless our intentions, Grant us the grace perfectly to accomplish them. Amen. Most Sacred Heart of Jesus, have mercy on us. Sorrowful and Immaculate Heart of Mary, pray for us. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. Okay.